Coming from the backwoods of New Jersey, welcome to the Jersey Guys Music Podcast, where we feature in-depth music discussions and interviews with special guests from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and AOR music. So settle in and crank it up. Now, here are your hosts, the Jersey Guys themselves, Tom and Mark.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Jersey Guys Podcast. I'm Mark Ballow here with my co-host Tom Coyne, as always. And today we've got, from the band Invasion, we've got Jorgen Abrahamsson and Jorgen Bergersen, right? Am I right?
Yeah, right.
Jorgen A and Jorgen B, to keep it simple.
Yeah.
So, guys, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So we just talked about it a second ago before we started. So Jorgen B, I'll start out with you. You are the lead singer of Invasion. Jorgen A over here is one of the guitar players. But Jorgen B, I wanted to ask you, you've been to our great state. We are the Jersey Guys Podcast. So you've been to our state. And I understand you're a New Jersey Devils fan.
I am. I played hockey as a kid and way up in my teens and actually early 20s. I was already a huge Devils fan.
Wow.
Because I saw Martin Brodeur as a goalie.
Ah.
And I started collecting hockey cards, and I was all into NHL and watching a lot of hockey games with my dad and my brother, who also played hockey.
Nice. Yeah, I'm actually a New York Islanders fan, so.
All right. Even though I actually have their jersey too.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, congratulations on a brand new album, Invasion Just Two, right? You guys, you're an independent band, right? So that's really cool. But I really wanted to just ask you guys, you know, the new album, how's the reaction been so far with the new album?
You can answer this one.
Yeah, I can. Well, it's been really good. And we're so humble that people buy the CD and they listen to it and they give us lots of feedback and they tell us everything that they love about it and that they hope for a third album. So we are very humble about the response of the album so far.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, it was Tom here turned me on, I guess, to the first album from you guys, and I was able to track a copy down. And I understand, you know, you guys have only done the 300 presses each of the first two albums.
Yeah, that's right. It was actually supposed to be a digital release only, mm-hmm. because we just wanted to put our music out there. We didn't want to wait.
This guy here yeah, made you put the CDs, right?
I will not. Any band I like, I will not tolerate just a digital release. I've done this with other bands too. I will hound you until you press a CD.
And it worked.
There you go.
Sufficient. It worked. Yeah. We pressed 300 copies. And we also had some woman called Birgit Schwanke, who is running the Pride and Joy label.
Yeah, we know her very. I know her for like over 30 years.
Oh, yeah, really? Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. She's also, she has to take some credit to it because she ordered like, I think it was 200 copies, which actually made it all right. At least we won't go in red numbers on this one.
Well, she has good taste in music. So like if she, because I do some work for a label called AOR Boulevard, and she takes a lot of our product too. If it's something good, she'll take a lot of copies from it. If it's something, you know, that's like that, she'll take 10 copies. But if she hears something and she hears it, you know, it's good, she'll take a couple hundred copies of it. And she'll move them all.
Yeah, and we really appreciate it. Fantastic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to dive into your sound, which to me, I'm going to give you some ideas of what I hear, influences. And I'm curious if you guys had the same influences. And one of the first things I heard when my friend Scott turned me on to the band was, you have that vintage late 80s European sound. that so many bands today have a hard time capturing it. You know, like you're one of the few bands, there may be one or two others, that you were able to get that sound. I'm going to give you a couple of records from that era that mm-hmm. is the sound that I hear, maybe not exactly, but you guys familiar with a band called Victory, German band?
Yeah.
Victory Temple.
Never heard about them.
You never heard about them?
No, never.
Oh, boy.
New band to me. Okay, but cool, cool.
German band from the 80s, and their album Temples of Gold. They also had another album out called Culture Killed the Native. Okay. Very similar to the style of what you guys are doing, that late 80s European hard rock, you know, melodic hard rock. Another band called China, Sign in the Sky. Anybody familiar?
No, never heard of them.
Wow. Okay. Band called Bonfire.
Oh, cool.
And the album was called Fireworks. A band called Treat.
Treat, of course.
Familiar? Okay. Band with an album called Organized Crime. How about a band called Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N?
No.
Okay. It's new to me.
No, new. Cool.
A band called Pretty Maids.
Pretty Maids, of course. Okay. Yeah.
But Pretty Maids when they were good in the late 80s. Album called Future World.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys before we kind of get into the songs that Tom's going to talk about. I want to know personally, what do they put in the water between like all the Nordic countries, like Norway, Sweden, Finland? You guys, you know, you've captured that 80s melodic hard rock, heavy metal sound. You kick America's ass, quite honestly. So I don't know what do they do over there? You guys get influenced like that?
I don't know. We have clean water. Perhaps that's it. We could reach straight from the tap. Yeah.
Did you ever hear of a band called Fair Warning?
Yeah.
The German band.
Yeah, Fair Warning. Okay. Another band I played in called Big City actually got the same comparison.
Okay. A band called Glenmore, a German band called Glenmore.
Nope.
Okay.
Have you, Jürgen?
No, you have to show me all these bands.
So what's amazing with this is, and it really impresses me because you guys created a sound that I've been personally waiting for bands to be able to recreate, and you don't even really know most of these bands. So it's like, you can't even be accused of saying, well, we ripped off this or we grabbed that or we got that idea. So it's very impressive that you guys came up with two fantastic albums and don't even know really who your influences are.
No, we don't. We think we know, but...
Yeah, we do, but yeah.
So why don't you, before I go into the albums, why don't you tell me now how you put these two magnificent records together? What was your influences?
Would you like to start here again?
You know what? I think we don't think. That's the key. We just pour everything out of our hearts. We don't overthink anything. We have a saying in which we made up in the band called in Norwegian it's ikke tenk bare smi. I'm not sure how to perfectly translate that, but don't think, just have the smithy warm. Mm. Just don't get caught up in details and overthink anything actually. And I think we just we don't try to sound like any other band. We just do what we do.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain because we have a great chemistry, and Jürgen is writing and arranging his songs, and Adrian is writing and arranging his songs, and they write differently, but I kind of sew it together with the melodies and the lyrics and all the vocal stuff.
So did you try to go for a certain base of music, or did you go into it blindly and just saying, if the AOR guys are into it, if the metal guys are into it, if the hair band guys are into it, great, and if not, we don't care?
Yeah, at least that's my approach to it. I don't, you know what, I think we're influenced by so many different kind of bands, and to me, when I'm writing the lyrics and I'm writing the melodies and the vocal harmonies, I just do what I think sounds good to me, and I love lots of great bands. So if I like what I listen to and make, probably other people will.
So give me an idea of some of these bands that you love that maybe was some type of a, at least influence for you to create your own music.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge fan of course, Whitesnake, Deep Purple, and all the old stuff, and Motley Crue. Warrant is a great band. Van Halen, Aerosmith. I have a tattoo of the band because I love Aerosmith. I've been loving them since I was a child. Kiss. Steel Panther is a newer influence to me. I love Steel Panther. How about you, Jürgen?
No, for me, it all started with seeing Ace Frehley and Kiss. That was the start for me. And immediately I just, I need to play the guitar. And I asked my dad, and that was how it started. But then I came into Black Sabbath, and Tony Iommi has been a huge influence for my playing style. And later, you know, in Whitesnake, as Jürgen mentioned, but also bands like Thin Lizzy and Danger Danger, Swedish Europe. You know Europe, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. John Norum is one of my absolute favorite players of all time. So lots of different guitars. And also Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits has been a huge influence for me when it comes to creating melodies and riffs and such.
Oh, wow.
But that's a totally different genre.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I was going to ask you about a song on the first album that reminds me something of earlier Europe, and maybe not so much, you know, more recent, the earlier Europe, a song called Arthas. How did that come about?
That's something that's not coming directly from my Europe influences. I remember I was just sitting in the sofa relaxing, and I had this main riff, and I, well, that's cool, and I went recording it, and suddenly it just came as it did. And I sent it to Jürgen, and he came up with the brilliant lyrics of the from the World of Warcraft universe, and then the song was ready. So it was some kind of magic, actually. It just happened, and I didn't think much about it, but the main riff came first, and then, you know, the verse and the solo and everything just followed from that, actually.
Yeah, yeah, and it gave...
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, it just when Jürgen sent me the track, it's all without vocals, and I was really triggered by this because when you sent it to me, you were really unsure if this was anything we could use at all.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's a great song. Great song.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I love you. It, and it really has this epic feel to it, and I just wanted to write the perfect melodies for it, and I wanted it to be epic, and I wanted the lyrics to be epic too, so. I'm a huge gamer and I love World of Warcraft, so I got the inspiration from that universe and took this character called Arthas, which is the main villain in one of the expansion packs. So because his story is really, really inspiring and cool. Yeah.
So let me ask you guys, you talked about a little bit of the writing process there. Is it the Jürgen A guitar, and is it the other guitar player? And do you guys kind of start with something and send that over to Jürgen B to kind of put lyrics to it? Is that how the process works with you guys?
Yes, that is exactly what we do. And me and Aiden, we are kind of different players, and we write very differently. So if you listen carefully to the album, you will, after some time, you will get the grip over this. This is something Jürgen made, and this is something Adrian made.
Okay.
And yeah, so the entire song is almost made, and we program drums and put some bass on it, and we just send it to Jürgen. So we have some kind of some basic foundation, and he gets the lyrics. And later, Ileif, the drummer, and Thomas, the bass player, they will do their stuff and edit something and change something that suits for them.
Okay. Mm.
That's how we have made the first two albums, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if we could talk a little bit about the song Through the Storm, which is my personal favorite on the album. Has an incredible riff. It's one of those riffs that as soon as I heard it the first time, I'm like, oh, what a fucking song this is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you could tell me a little bit about both of you, how the creation of that song came about.
That is one of the songs that really reminds me of the early Europe era.
Yeah, me too.
Europe and Treat, both of them, yeah.
Yeah. If you listen to the vocal lines of just the melody after the solo, I don't remember exactly if it's after the last chorus or anything, but I hear so much Joey Tempest in Jürgen's voice at that moment.
Me too.
And I also love that song very much to this day. One of my absolute favorites too.
Yeah, yeah, and I, and that song is one of the songs that didn't get too much love in the release because it's later on in the album and it wasn't a single. But I really, really love that song and I love to sing it live too. Mm. So,
and the other song that had a tremendous riff was Acolytes, if you could tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. That's an Adrian song.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
It's just stomping and heavy, and I really love the groove and the drive. I love that song too. So that's really funny because when they send me their songs, it's like, to me, it's like listening to a new song from a band I love. So I just have to, I have the privilege to write the lyrics to it and the melodies. And that's another song that has this epic feel to it. So the lyrics, I wanted them to be, it's inspired by the Sith cult in Star Wars universe. So I wanted to try to, I did some research and I tried to bake in some fan hints in there and some Easter eggs.
Hmm.
And just wanted to make the lyrics. There's a lot of gaming and movie universes there. That's really heavy metal.
Yes. Yeah,
that's funny. I see that from what you were saying so far.
Yeah. But I don't want it to be too obvious.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to be mentioning exception from Arthas, which is the actually character, but I try to you know, be a little subtle about it. So you can choose to be about something else if you want.
Yeah.
The other song I wanted to talk about was Wings of Steel, which to me has got a little bit of a Dokken influence in it.
That's actually one of the first songs Adrian sent to me when he asked me to try and write something on his material. So that was it was a turning the tide and Wings of Steel he sent to me.
Those were the first one.
Yeah.
The song builds, like it doesn't, like it sits and then like you wait and then when it hits, you know, that hook hits, it's really powerful.
Yeah. And I was actually having Judas Priest in the back of my mind writing it. I wanted to be.
They had a lot of songs like that, Judas Priest, where the hook would be like 2 minutes into the song.
Yeah. And it's, I can't remember the title, but Europe also have a song pretty similar to it on
Scream of Anger?
Scream of Anger, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So Europe clearly were a band that I would say you were, you know, copying them, but they were. You had that John Norum vibe going through your veins at time.
Yeah, absolutely. At least for my part. And I know Adrian is also a huge fan of John Norum, but he's even more into guitarists like Nuno Bettencourt and Paul Gilbert and those kind of guitarists as well.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Was Norum a bigger favorite than Key Marcello, or you liked them equally?
Personally, I like them equally. I think they have...
Because they're different players. They're very different.
Yeah, they are. Very much so. You know, Key Marcello is all about speed and those liquid runs he's doing perfectly. John Norum, to me, is more about the feel, but he has those. And he's also a fast player, but they are very different. But to me, I really enjoy both of them, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, John Norum was a total disciple of Gary Moore.
He was.
he had that attack mode style of playing, like a guy Gary Moore, and you know he made no bones about that. You know that was a huge influence, and his style of guitar playing was that very aggressive. And Marcello had more of a melodic, you know, frenzy on the fretboard type of style. But I agree with you. I like them in Europe. I like them equally. Norum's one of my favorite artists. But as far as Europe, it's hard to pick one because they did great albums with Marcello too. So we'll move on to album number two. So maybe you could tell us a little bit of how this album was recorded, because both of them had great production. Who does the production in the band?
Well, it's mainly I Live, our drummer, who's doing all the post-production and mixing and adds his flavor to it. And Adrian actually did a lot of co-producing on it too, on the second album, because we were barely making all the deadlines we set for ourselves. It was a horse race.
Oh, that was intense, yeah.
Yeah. So the album wasn't ready until like... the week before we released
week five.
So, yeah, we got the master the week before.
being an independent band, were these self-imposed deadlines, or was there?
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't like a record label telling you, come on, we need the album, you know?
No, no. They would probably, I'll bet if we were on a label, they wouldn't release the second album this year, probably. We would probably be on the first single now or something. We just wanted to get, because we had 9 tracks on the first album, and we just wanted to release a second album as fast as possible so we can do full shows. So now we have like 90-minute shows if we want to.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So and 9 tracks is great. I love a 9-10 track. I hate when bands put out 15, 16 songs because nobody really digests all that, you know, like that 40.
It's too much.
Yeah, it's too much. And bands still continue to do that.
And it's so much more motivating to write 9 songs, because when you have done 5 songs, you have just 4 left. You're over that way. Yeah, it's just more motivating.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
Now, was your approach on the second album where... Well, I mean, you can backtrack a second. Were these songs, some of these songs left over from that writing period, or it was all a new, fresh writing period?
We were writing, like, Jörgen is a writing machine. He's just producing songs all the time, so much that I get irritated because I just can't get my head over water. So, but we were writing already, I think we had at least.
I remember that we had songs as Take It Too Far was already written before Turning the Tide was given out. Allies was given as the first single of the first album.
Yeah.
And also Grasp of the Wretches was also written, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
But songs from Informer and All for All, they and also On the Edge, they came a bit later.
Okay.
Yeah, and Hold On, the ballad, is a song I actually wrote for another project a couple of years ago, which just was put in, on the shelf.
So with this album, I've always been a believer for a successful album, you need a great first song. And you guys nailed it with Banshee Queen, which is fantastic song right out of the chute. From that first song, I was like, okay, I'm already on board with this. How did that song come about?
Actually, that song wasn't supposed to be on the second album because I was writing. Sometimes I write when I get the songs from Adrian and Jörgen. I can't start to write on one song, and then I get demotivated and I start writing on another, and I just go back and forth sometimes. So I was actually writing on another song, which will probably be on the third album now. So it was like this late minute thing. I wasn't feeling the song at first because I didn't know how to approach it, and then it just clicked for me. Mm. Yeah,
terrific song. It was really like an in your face song. Really, you know, great punchy hook.
The song
Informer has got, to me, a very USA type of sound. It reminded me a little bit of like bands like Giant, Bad English, Hardline, XYZ, like that real melodic hard rock late 80s USA sound.
That's a huge favorite, early favorite of mine on the new album.
Ah, great, thanks.
Thank you. The riff came off. I had one. Well, it's a different tuning I'm using on that song, and I tried it first in, I think it was A, which was the ground tuning at the time, and then I just dropped one of the strings that I usually don't drop on the guitar, and there it is. But then I felt it, and it just came along. And what I think makes that song so catchy is Eilid's keyboard work on the song. I love how he included that in the production.
Yeah,
it really lifted the song to me personally, at least.
And now that you mentioned keyboards, that was something I was going to address with you guys.
Yeah,
would you ever consider adding like more keyboards? Hammond organ in some of the songs and giving it even a bigger, you know, like Treat, Deep Purple. There were two bands in particular that had a heavy sound but had a fair amount of keyboards. Or are you going to stay pretty much 2 guitars and maybe just a drop of keyboards?
Yeah, it was a hard time getting used to all the synths and Hammond organs and the new production of the second album. We actually had we had a little not a fight, but a little dispute.
Minor fights would be the correct way to put it.
Because when we first heard All For All, it just fitted right away, and nobody was hassling around with that. It was just fine, all right. The synth works on All For All, and then came Banshee Queen, which was the second song we were mixing, and when we heard all the Hammond organs and synths on that one, we just, me and Jürgen especially, had a meltdown. Like, are we doing the right thing? It doesn't sound like the first album. But we went for it, and Eiliv did a fantastic job mixing it, and we all agreed that it was the right turning point for us.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I think it works.
Because Adrian wrote all the riffs for Banshee Queen, and I don't think he had in his mind that there was supposed to be any kind of keys on it. But Eiliv started to play with the keys on Arthas. It's the first song that really had some keys and some extra layers. And it was a big surprise for all of us, I think. But yeah, Eiliv got his will. It turned out how it did.
Yeah, and for the third album, we haven't really talked about the sound, but we're going to take a little bit more time on the third album. So we're going to do things. We learned a lot from the last process. So yeah, we're going to take a little bit more time, even though we're all over halfway through with the third album. So I'm not sure which direction we are going. I really like when vocals and guitars are the most dominating thing in the mix. The synths and the keys are growing on me, so they will be there. But I don't know if we're going to. It will be as dominating as it is in Deep Purple. Yeah, I'm not sure. We're not sure yet.
Well, Deep Purple's a high, you know, Greg, because they were really centered around John Lord's keyboards a lot. Even at times more so than Blackmore's guitar playing. I wouldn't expect you to go, you know, quite that route. I mean, I'd like if you did, but I wouldn't expect you to. But I am a keyboard nut, so I like keys in hard rock. I mean, there's a certain small amount of bands where it doesn't fit, but I could see you guys maybe album 3 or 4 down the road having some, you know, like maybe bluesy type of ballads with, you know, keys, kind of like what Coverdale used to do with the early Whitesnake.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have, if the song wants it, it will get it.
Yeah.
That's kind of our mantra on that one. If it fits, we will have it there. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the song Hungry for Love, which is a lot different than any other song you guys have written. This is kind of like, we have a term in the USA called cock rock. And this was like your attempt at cock rock, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, it's another Adrian song. Yeah, it's really cheesy. And I just
it does have a great hook, though. The hook saved the song.
Yeah. I just wanted to have, I was in a playful mood, and I just wanted to have some fun with it, and I wanted to push my vocals on the song because it's pretty intense and to sing it. And I had a really good vocal day when I was in the studio, or I was sitting here singing it in this mic. So I just wanted to have fun. I just wanted to write something that was not so serious. Yeah, and it turned out to be.
No, it worked. That. It worked because it's your vocals were super powerful on that, and it had a great hook. So, you know, that stuff worked for a lot of U.S. bands. If you had the hook and the good vocals, you could get away with the cheesy lyrics.
Yeah.
Take It Too Far, my favorite song on the album. I hear little hints of Jolyn Turner period Rainbow in that song. I think it's the best song on the album, by the way.
Thank you.
If you could tell me a little bit about that.
You start with the lyrics, Sirian, or should I start?
You should start.
Okay. That was actually, the main riff was something I had put on a shelf, actually. It had been made it a couple of years ago, but it didn't suit any of the other bands I was in at the time. And suddenly I got this, sitting there and just, maybe I can try and make anything out of this. And so it turned out, and I sent it to Jürgen, and the lyrics were written very quickly. And it's also one of my favorites of the album. It's really fun to play live. Too. Because we can just lean back and relax. It's not that fast, but it's heavy, it's groovy. Love playing Nachman live.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I remember you were you had already recorded it, right? Because I remember you doing you took the arrangement and you just made it more heavy to just fit our sound better. Am I right?
No, that's Take It Away.
That's Take It Away. Oh yeah, right. Okay,
different song.
Different song.
Actually, it's the next song I was going to ask you about, because I already knew what you were talking about. You had the two because there's two songs that have take it. Yeah,
I was reading your notes there.
Yeah. My next note was Take It Away, which reminds me a lot of Treat, like organized crime period Treat.
Mm-hmm. Take It Away, I had for another band that I was playing in when I first met Jürgen and Adrian, and I was heavily influenced by Rival Sons at the time. So it had lots of, it doesn't on this recording, but on the original recording, it has, octave guitar and those kind of, to make it more beefy. I removed that, but I just changed the way I play. It's more heavy, it's more thumping and everything. But it's pretty much the same, the arrangement and everything. The solo is exactly the same, but it's more heavy, a lot more heavy. Mm.
Yeah, it's a terrific song. And
thanks.
The last song I wanted to ask you about, it's got a very strange name, Grasp of the Wrenches. If you could explain what it means first and then talk about, because it's a terrific song.
Oh, thanks. Well, I was really sick one week, and I was I kept my mind.
It's called
hungover. Yeah. I wasn't hungover for a week. Probably the cause of why I got sick. But anyways, it came to my mind that I hadn't watched all the Harry Potter movies, so I was binging all the movies. And I was actually inspired by Harry Potter's journey, but he gets mistreated a lot in all the movies. He's having a really bad time all the time. So the lyrics was inspired by actually not by the story of the movies, but more of his personal, of what I was imagining, his pain and suffering. So that's where it started.
Interesting. So we see it's the video games or it's the movies with your inspiration. Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my next question is, third album, would you guys be at this point looking to maybe get on a label, or is it more advantageous for you to stay independent? Like, what's your thought? Because I know there's a lot of different bands I've spoken to. Some guys are really on the path of all the good things about being independent, and other guys want to be able to say, I'm on a label, you know? So where do you see yourself going, you know, forward?
Yeah, we are discussing that a lot. We have some offers, and we have had some offers, which we have declined. For me personally, I really love the freedom to be able to put out the music that we make whenever we want to. And I've been studying a lot of marketing, and I'm doing all this Facebook and Instagram ads marketing through there, and trying to learn as much as I can by myself, which has helped us get a lot of reach. So, but at the same time, we are at the point now where we are doing a lot of administrative work. When we get home from work, there's a lot of emails, people I'm pretty behind on answering people on the email and trying to be, because we want to be there for our fans and get back to them and talk to them, but it's starting to be a little bit more heavy catching up.
Got to get a band secretary.
Yeah, we should.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, nowadays, like you said, I think back in the day, labels did more for the bands, but I think nowadays all you really need is probably that more administrative thing, and you know, you can control everything else. You said it's great having the freedom to do what you want, not have something telling you need this song to add more keys, or this song needs to be more commercial, or you know, you have that freedom as an independent band.
Yeah, and I've already been on Frontiers with another band called Big City, and we released two albums with them, and then you're not able to do just as you want. to anymore. And I bet you, you will get 10 songs on the album. They won't go for 9, probably.
No, you'll probably get 12 songs, even if, you know.
Yeah.
They'll tell you and to write two, even if you don't have two in you.
Yeah, and all the the release in Japan, they always want something extra special. They want that song that nobody else gets in the world.
Right.
So we haven't landed that. Maybe we get a publishing deal or something. But I don't know much about the business, actually. So we don't know yet where we're going to go.
Okay. Yeah.
But at the moment, being independent suits us very well with our lifestyle and everything. Absolutely. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as far as playing live shows, do you guys get to play out a lot in Norway?
It's tough because we need to pay for the venue and everything. But we do some shows annually. I don't remember how many shows we have. We don't have any more left this year. But we might have some coming up on the first half of next year, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to Germany for the first time, playing show in Stuttgart, which will be very cool. Looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yes, we're trying to get a small tour down there, trying to book some more shows.
Do you have a fan base in Germany? I would think you do.
Yeah, there's another podcast called Scream for Metal. Have you heard of them?
I think I've heard the name.
Yeah, yes. I've seen them on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, they're the guys that actually got us the gig in Stuttgart.
Okay.
So they are our top listeners. They in Brazil and Spain and a lot of Latin countries.
Wow. But also USA and Sweden as well. Those are the top countries.
Mm. Nice.
And most of our listeners are from Europe also. They're not from the States. They're mostly Europe, all different countries in Europe. That's the bulk of people that watch and listen on all the platforms that we're on.
Because
that's where the hard rock is. It's dispersed through Europe. It's unfortunately not in the States anymore.
That's weird, actually.
Yeah, it's been for a long time, too. It's a very... there were a couple of states that have little small scenes, but it's by and large it's pretty dead over here. It's country too? Music.
Yeah, pop. I mean, unless you're like really like, you know, big arena act, or bigger act, right. You know, but like, otherwise the smaller. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay, right.
It's a lot of pop music, rap, and country is what's dominating the U.S. charts now for easily the last two decades.
So you guys talked about. You're going to take a little more time with the third album. I mean, the new one is just out, and you're actively promoting that. But what is there any type of timeline, you know, in that's been discussed as far as the next album?
Well, we haven't actually discussed any release date yet, but we're pretty impulsive, so it could be.
It could just happen.
It could just happen. We were talking about trying to write more than 9 songs before we release, just so we can have a little bit more, could pick between a little bit more songs. Mm. But I want to release something next year.
Okay.
Definitely. And we have talked about releasing a live EP or something like that. We recorded our live shows around the release date. So there will be some more, at least digital releases. I hope we can release our album next year, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It might happen.
Yeah.
just make sure you put it on CD.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or else you'll have me and Scott Sherman annoying you again.
Yeah, I know.
Is there anything else, Tom?
I think we covered everything.
So you guys say you're obviously an independent band. As far as socials go, how can everybody keep track of you guys?
Well, we're on all the social platforms, Facebook, Instagram. We're pretty active on those platforms. We also have a TikTok and we have a YouTube channel, which we're building, trying to be a bit more active there and release some playthroughs. And I just have a little bit of fun with the albums we have released now. So you can catch us there.
Okay, great. Well, I wanted to ask you before we let you go, and I've said this with the last few episodes that we've done where we've had guests on. One of the things we like to do is at the end of our podcast, especially on the YouTube version, of course, where the video is, we do sort of like a closing credits thing. We'll list your socials so everybody can check you guys out. But
thanks.
We like to try and put like a minute and a half of a particular song to give people an idea of, you know, what you guys sound like. If between the two of you guys, would you have a certain song, maybe some from the new album that you would like us to feature?
I think you're thinking about Informer.
I don't mind you playing Informer. Yeah. Informer's a cool song, so if you want to play that one.
Okay.
Yeah, please sure. do. Please do.
Is that all right with you, Tom?
Any song by these guys is is good for me.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, all right. Jürgen A, Jürgen B. That's what we're going to call you guys.
But,
The band Invasion, everybody check them out. Again, you know, we'll list their socials. We thank you guys for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks very much, guys. It was a lot of fun.
All right.
We'll hopefully talk to you soon on album number 3.
Yeah, I hope so too.
All right.
Be in touch.
All right.
Take care,
guys. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.